he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question, you know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I can't believe what has taken place this week all around sports. Everything has always revolved around where we are, where we've been, and where we are going now. Everything has always revolved around the past, present, and future. And of course, everything has ultimately revolved around truth or dare, which is our subject for today. Truth or dare is in the eye of the beholder. So many things to get through today. We hope you enjoy the show. Because, well, we might have a roundtable discussion. If you'd like to be part of the roundtable discussion, you can go ahead and call us at 347-637-2306. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to get into it in just a minute. I mean, I didn't explain this, you know, properly like I should have, but I'll explain what the NFL situation is right now, because I'm sure you all remember, I'm sure you all saw that would really happen in the world of the NFL. Like the end of that Seattle game on Sunday, we'll get into that. Because guess who used his cell phone to fix that game? And also, wait till later on, because you're going to find out how late WWE actually was on once again rewriting Raw this week. Them and their damn rewrites. And there are apparently a lot of stupid jackass people on the internet. I'd like to welcome DDP into the chat room. But there are a lot of jackasses who immediately turn the tide on all the bad news about Jerry the King Lawler. Jerry, my friend, I've met you in person. Please get well soon. Take care of yourself. Don't rush back into anything, especially not commentary. Because people have nothing better to do these days. I always hear that. People have nothing better to do than anything. That's bullshit. That is complete bullshit, and I will explain why later on. Because, hey, you know what? It just, it's something that should not happen. Seriously. There's too much chaos going on in the world. And how do you, you know, lower yourself to a certain level where you know that it's not right? The things that you're saying, the videos you're making, it's not right. It's not true. It's not even correct. So, yeah. You know. I tell you. Too much. And because of all this, I mean, there's, so much hype and congestion about everything that's taking place. But most likely all that direction is pointed to WWE contention theory about Jerry Lawler. And I can't believe it, but wow. There's been, you know, a lot of things and talked about this thing. But, yeah. I tell you. Let's get into this, shall we? Let's go back and quickly review what took place. Because the NFL can definitely be a place where there seems to be a lot of confusion, a lot of resentment into what they do and how things are played. Because what took place on Sunday, in almost every single NFL game, it's the fact that we have referees blowing these calls left and right. Now, I'm sure those of us that saw the Green Bay 49er game, it was a very intense game. And and now we find the problem with why referees are blowing calls. And this is what I have never made clear to you people out there listening. The clear revolving door was never a revolving door until now. Because everybody kept revolving and everybody kept saying the same thing. Why are all these referees blowing these calls? I'll explain that to you right now. The reason why referees are blowing these calls in the NFL, here's the real reason that I've never mentioned. I figured it out this week, though, talking to all my friends and other people that I've talked to. And that is, what they are single-handedly trying to do is, you heard before the 49er-Packer game went live, was that so-and-so, who is our lead referee today, will referee his last game. Hence the word, last game, which told us all something that this guy's going to retire. You know what? He should have retired after the first two blown calls that he made. First, they all said that the Packers were clearly out of bounds on third and long in the second inning. In the second quarter. And clearly in the second quarter, the replay clearly showed that Green Bay's Isaiah Thomas was never touched and he was never out of bounds until they got to the 5-yard line. Actually, even then, he got tackled, but he was never tackled out of bounds. That should have been an automatic first down. But no, he doesn't review anything. Anything at all. You fast forward to after halftime. I don't understand this, but they had a third and long situation coming up from a previous play where they said the ball was not spotted enough behind the line of scrimmage, and that all the 49ers were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then the camera switched to Jim Harbaugh, and he's over there yelling at the 49ers. Then he walks by his main area where he's supposed to technically stand, but they have the freedom to walk around because they're the coach. And he goes over, and he pulls the red challenge flag. And he's just walking around with it. He hasn't thrown it out on the field or anything. And I said, Jim, you don't need to do this. You're going to cost your Niners a lot of heat and possibly a timeout. If you're third and short, let the offensive team handle it. Which then means you turn all that power over to the offensive coordinator. But no, because Jim Harbaugh didn't appreciate where the officials had spotted the ball for the Packers. Oh, man. He goes, and after they made their ruling, then he threw the challenge flag out onto the field. And said, fine, well, we're going to do a review of this play, and we'll see what happens. They did a replay of the last play that they did. And now they're, you know, second down and short. They still don't have the first down. But because of the replay for that second down play and where the ball was spotted, they're like, the ruling on the field stands. The 49ers are charged with one timeout. It's not even the fourth quarter. I mean, it was getting there. The time was running out, and they were going to go into the fourth quarter anyway. It's like, dang. Good grief. How did that happen? Then he's even more furious. And things kept going on and on and on about this whole thing. You go to the last minute and a half of the 49er-Packer game. We stop the clock. With 90 seconds left. Eric Baton from the Packers gets called a penalty for roughing the passer for excessive force. Again, the replay clearly showed there was no instance in roughing the passer. he was doing everything proper, because the rule has always been you can keep your leg bent, you know, down like you're picking a piece of furniture up or something, because you always want to protect your back. That's how they play football. You keep your legs down, lower your knees, and all you do is you just push the other guy back. That's all you're supposed to do. As long as you don't touch the face mask, as long as you don't, well, I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's not allowed in football. As long as you don't accidentally clothesline the other guy from the opposing team, DDP, clotheslines are used in wrestling, then you'll get a penalty on you. But clearly, he didn't do any of that. So why would this referee do that and cause Green Bay a penalty in the fourth quarter? All you have to do is re-spot the ball, set the clock back to where you remember the ball, where the time was, the game clock, that is, and then you go on and assess the play further. See what happens on the next down. And they didn't do that. They just acted like it was part of the deal. And then the game rolled on, and next thing you know, the game was over. I thought for sure, that the Packers were going to win that game, by the way. They didn't. The Niners came back and won. I wanted to scream and cuss and do every single thing I could. Because, you know, I normally don't watch Niner games, but I was at my friend's house. It was her daughter's 9th birthday. She turned 9 on Sunday. I was like, I can't believe this. And because they have Dish Network, that's their cable provider, at her house, because her ex-husband came over to see the kids and stuff, because we both have this common thing about football. And he happened to be there, and that's why we were watching the game. Then you hear them say that, you know, for those of you on the West Coast, you'll have to change certain channels. So DDP, I don't know if you saw the game, but I'm sure if you and your dad did see the game, you probably had to change channels. And that usually applies to us over here on the West Coast. All you East Coast people, New York, New Jersey, Indianapolis, Texas, you guys all have to, you know, you guys will never have to change channels. But they said if you live on the West Coast, I mean on the East Coast, then you have to change the channel to watch the Seattle game. They're playing the New York Giants. They say if you're on the East Coast, stay right here with us and we'll transfer you to that game as soon as the 49ers Green Bay Packers game is done. So we were like, cool, we don't have to change the channel. All right, we'll just leave it right here. I was like, well, you know, I don't know anything about Dish Network. That's you, so I don't know how you control that. I don't know how to operate that. I don't want to hit the wrong button, so I'll let you handle it. So he's like, all right. So he checked the information and found out that, yeah, we don't have to change the channel. The Seattle New York Giants game is going to come up right after this. All we have to do is wait for the 49ers, see who's going to win, see if the Packers are going to come back. So we did, and blah, blah, blah. And the 49er game had ended, and then they transferred us right over to the game. And the Giants and the Seahawks are down to the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. I was like, oh boy. They completed seven games. They completed seven downs. It was a long summary. Seven plays in that last 2 minutes. Oh, well, that's okay, DDP, if you didn't watch the game. But maybe you saw the Seattle Seahawks and the New York Giants play on Sunday. They did seven plays within the 2 minutes. It was all Seattle. And then suddenly, the last 30 seconds, there was a whole bunch of confusion. They go up to the main part of the field, and the officials were like, "A timeout on the field had been called." And that's all the lead referee said. I was like, okay. They came back 2 seconds later. "We're going to have to take a game timeout. We are not sure." And he closed his eyes because you could tell he did not want to say it. And he opened his eyes again and said, "We are not sure which team has called a timeout." I said, "What? There's 30 seconds left in the game and you guys don't know who called a timeout?" "Well, gee, was it the Giants that called a timeout? I don't know. We better find out." "Yeah, we're on live TV here." "No, I think it was Seattle. Didn't they call a timeout?" And I'm thinking, what in the blue hell are you doing? What is going on over there? Do I have to fly my ass to Seattle and take care of this myself? 30 seconds of the game left and they don't know who's got the timeout. They start asking their other people that aren't even involved with the actual intake of the NFL, they start asking, you know, the chain guys, the guys that move the chains, "Do you know who called the timeout?" That must be sad for referees to actually have to find out. You know, why didn't the officials call for help from the upstairs booth? Because they keep very good track of all that. Well, you would think they did, but they didn't even know. You know who saved that game? You know who allowed the game to continue? Because he got tired of all the bullshit. NFL executive, one of Roger Goodell's partners, he's like Roger Goodell. He's in that spot that he's in. He happens to be watching the game. His name is Mike Morano. He's one of the NFL executives with Roger Goodell. He's watching this game from home. He uses his cell phone. He's like, "Yeah, this is so-and-so. Connect me with the booth immediately. I'm watching the game." So then they find out, "Oh, well, so-and-so's on the phone." He's like, "I know who called the timeout. It was Seattle, okay? Now finish the game." This is why the problematic thing is, like I said earlier, the reason why all these games were messed up on Sunday, because half of these officials are getting ready to fucking retire. And the entire world is casting themselves to say, "You know what? We want her. We want her. We want Elizabeth Beth. Elizabeth Beth Mitchell in the NFL for life." She can't be at every single game, but hey. And of course, we're talking about that 26-year-old girl from 2 weeks ago. She's only 26, but she's had plenty of refereeing experience on the independent level. And she's done only a few handful of college games. None of them were televised, though. But NFL scouts knew her track record. That's why during preseason, when the Jets took on the Marlins, she called that entire game, as I said 2 weeks ago, she called it perfectly. And some people were like, do we really need women? Bad enough we got women taking over everything else. Do we really need women officiating the NFL games? And I told one of my employees this week, and he asked me that question. Actually, several of them did. I said, you know what? I actually don't have a problem with women officiating. If women can come in and they can officiate these NFL games mixed with a bunch of guys, because she did a hell of a job. She's only 26 years old. And she knew all the rules. She's kind of like NDB Media's own. You can hear her on this very same channel. She has her own show here. Our very own Alexandria Stock fan. She knows everything about baseball. Well, this girl that's only 26, she knows everything there is to know about football. And she called every single play correctly. There was no judgment cast upon her. She never messed up, not even once. These damn guy referees are getting ready to retire. See, this is the problem. They're getting ready to retire, but if you saw the other game on Sunday night, wait. The Monday night game is a better example. The Raiders game, they stuck the youngest officials in this game who only have 2 years' experience. That's why they were like, well, such and such penalty on the Raiders. Oh, wait, whoops. That penalty was actually meant for the Chargers, I think. Because these young guys don't really have the experience that the old guys have. I know the season's already underway and stuff, but they need to seriously find a day off for all these officials. All the old guys that are getting ready to retire from the NFL as NFL officials and referees, along with the new guys. Find a way, if you're an older man in the NFL and you've been officiating for many, many years, find a way to train the younger guys that are coming in to take your spot. I don't think the NFL will do that. Now, will they? No, because they're so backed in their own fucking glory about, ooh, money, money, money's coming in. This has to stop. This needs to be kept on a tighter leash. Okay? Very quickly, this Sunday, it'll be Houston and Jacksonville. Then, of course, later in the day, Cleveland and Cincinnati. That's going to be a good game. Next NFL game is Kansas City and Buffalo. Buffalo might get their ass kicked. Baltimore and Philadelphia. You guys better stay tuned because AJ and several other people might call in. AJ, I normally go against you on this if you're listening, but I'm actually going to cheer for Philadelphia over Baltimore this Sunday. I really am. Minnesota and Indianapolis, that's going to be another good game. Arizona and New England will play also. New Orleans and Carolina. Tampa Bay will play the Giants. Washington will play St. Louis. Dallas plays Seattle. Tennessee plays San Diego. The Jets play Pittsburgh. Detroit plays San Francisco. And then Monday night, it will be Denver and Atlanta. Wow. Imagine that. Denver and Atlanta. Wow. I honestly don't know what's going to happen with that one. But now as we get ready to transition, where is consequence? Where are the favors that come from within? it never ceases to amaze me that the world of sports and the world of wrestling can be so hypocrisy-like. Because it's not just what you tell people to follow you by. It's how you tell them to follow you by. Because if you tell them one thing and then say something completely different, you're going to result in a sinking, sailing ship. And I wouldn't want to follow you if the boat's going to sink. Don't be a liar either.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even,
oh my god,
the leader of Team Pooch himself, Mick 37. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media, and here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mikado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. And, yeah. Coming back in off a great commercial break with with some hot dogs here. Coffee and DDP. Have a hot dog, okay? Now, we have to get into more craziness, I tell you. You know, I can't believe that, well, things are just out of control, especially because just now reported, TMZ.com has released some details concerning former WWE performer and former ECW star Tammy Cinch, also known as Sunny, being arrested for 3 consecutive days this week, according to publication, each arrest for crimes related to domestic violence. The Brantford police say the 39-year-old was first arrested for disorderly conduct on September 11th at 8:55 p.m. due to an incident involving a man who was living in the house where the altercation took place. Cinch was then released Wednesday morning on $500 bond before being arrested again at 4:49 p.m. for disorderly conduct and strangulation. Coffee don't go strangling people. For an incident involving the same man. She was also charged with violating a restraining order. Cinch was released Thursday on $25,000 bail before being arrested again at 8 p.m. for once again violating a restraining order. And of course, the incident involved the same man. Cinch, of course, has since been freed. She was freed this morning after being released this morning on $2,500 bond. Got to keep those hands in check. No choking, it's allowed. Wow. I don't know what's been happening with her, but if you look online, there is a crazy, crazy-ass mugshot picture of her. I was like, dang, that's what she looked like with that mugshot? And of course, as you know, Jeff Hardy won the Bound for Glory series on Sunday at TNA's No Surrender pay-per-view. And then retained his spot by, of course, beating Bully Ray on Thursday's edition of Impact. Well, of course, we'll get into that. Hardy will now challenge Austin Aries for the TNA title at Bound for Glory. Former ROH star TJ Perkins wrestled a dark match before Thursday night's Impact Wrestling episode. According to sources, ROH has parted ways and released Perkins, and he is now expected to sign with TNA. And also, as most of you saw, that TNA had Jerry Lawler and Mike Tenay acknowledge the Jerry Lawler incident from Raw. They wished Lawler a speedy recovery. WWE diva Eve Torres announced on Twitter Thursday that she is engaged to Rainer Gracie, who has been her boyfriend of several years. And of course, yeah, Coffee, she's only 39. Coffee says she needs to lay off the drugs. Or something, I don't know. I don't know what she was on, but to be arrested that many times in only a 6-hour period after just being released, I don't know what's going on with her. I hope she comes back to the good side of life, or maybe she needs to find a different man to make her happy. Coffee, you can make her happy, can't you? Yeah, there you go. I'll be sure to tell Sunny and call her up for you. But now back to more serious business. The final wrestling news I have for you is this. And it involves, once again, Raw rewrites. You're probably wondering, well, Raw was so relaxed and laid back, and they let everybody do whatever they were going to do. You know, if you were in the back room, backstage area, and you saw that, well, I'm wrestling so-and-so. Okay, so-and-so's in a tag team match. Those matches took place. But with no direction. No direction at all. And it wasn't until after the first match took place that they decided, we're going to rewrite Raw right now. Here's the new thing we're doing for the rest of Raw. You waited till after the first match and start rewriting Raw? Well, Raw is going on? All the agents and everybody in charge and different things like that. The very first match of the night is going on, and they just decide, well, I know we're on TV right now, but nobody needs to know what we're doing because we're backstage and we can get away with it. We're going to go ahead and we're going to rewrite Raw right now. Talk about totally last minute. This is way out of control. This cannot happen. I mean, I know they weren't planning for the Jerry Lawler thing to take place. Because then once that happened, then they really laid back. But you cannot have so many Raw rewrites, and especially this type of rewrite. No, that can't happen because, well, I mean, it's a good thing. You know, not even the promos were sent out correctly. That's why Punk got away with cussing as much as he did on Raw. Brought back memories. I tell you. You know, because when Raw was getting ready to be started on Monday Night Raw, I was like, okay, Raw's about to start. And I assumed that because almost every single channel wants to remember the events, the stories, and the unfoldment of 9/11. I thought for sure that Vince McMahon and others would agree. We need to do a remembrance, too. We need to remember them. Even though it was 10 years ago when the World Trade Center got attacked, let's do our own 9/11 tribute. But I thought they were going to do it, but they didn't. Because they didn't have any direction like I just said. The only thing that they kept a tight lock on and a real grip on, and what was actually written and set in stone on Sunday, the day before Monday, with that Bret Hart, you're going to go out there and you're going to say this and that about the fans and about the crowd and how you feel to be back in Montreal, and you're going to thank them publicly, since you've never were able to thank them since we screwed you, you know, for the Montreal screw job. Other than that, the other promos and all the matches, they actually got a chance to speak for themselves. And his promo with CM Punk, like I said, CM Punk got away with a lot of shit on Monday. I mean, hell, that's what opened up the show. They knew that Punk was going to go out, but they didn't even have Punk stuff ready. Because, once again, even though It's been 2 years now since Michael Hayes got demoted. He is no longer allowed to say anything creative-wise because they feel he doesn't have a creative mouth anymore. That's why he's not a head creative writer anymore. But he decided that he would try and, you know, play consultant. He's like, well, just have CM Punk, you know, go out there and say real stuff to get, you know, say some stuff to get off his chest. And they were like, no, that is not going to happen. This is the whole reason why Michael Hayes got demoted in the first place 2 years ago. And you're trying to play consultant, why? Your job now is just to be Vince McMahon's right-hand bitch or left-hand bitch, whatever you want to call it. And you take orders, and you probably have to get his coffee. That's all you're allowed to do, Michael Hayes. And some of them were like, well, I kind of like Michael's idea. It's okay. And they went with it. You know, and parents were outraged. How many times did CM Punk and Bret Hart, you know, cuss each other out? And then John Cena comes down and gets involved. Says, if you want me right now, here I am, you little fucker. It's like, you know, parents were outraged. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a parent. Isn't this a PG product? Come on now. You know, it surprises me that they would actually do this. You know what they need to do? And I know Coffee's going to be very opinionated. He'll probably agree with it. Since they brought back a Saturday morning show, no, it's not LiveWire. This show is strictly educational for children. This is what they should do. This is their new plan, and I'm giving them this plan for 2013. Raw and SmackDown should now be consequently relabeled as TV-14 products and TV-14 rating-wise for television anyway, because you've got the other television show that is strictly for kids. Like I said, I only saw that one episode and I'm never watching it again. Because my neighbor, he was downstairs in our lobby here at my apartment complex, and he's like, because we were planning on going out to the mall and stuff. He's like, well, wait, I just found this on TV. I go downstairs and he's watching it. I'm like, I'm not watching that. I'm like, text me when it's over and then I'll come back downstairs and we can go to the mall. I'm like, you actually want to watch this? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, fine, whatever. It made me very upset that he wanted to watch it. But, you know, if you want to cuss so much and do all these other things, be my guest. Just make sure that, you know, you have this whole thing down. Make Raw and SmackDown adult entertainment shows again. And Saturday morning can be for the kids. There you go. Problem solved. The first match was The Miz and Antonio Cardo versus Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. Now, even though Antonio's a heel, I like him. No, I don't like him because of what can happen when he's, you know, with Exana, and Exana, you know, tells us that, well, this is how many different languages he can speak his name in and tell you how great of a champion he is. You probably all thought that that's what was going to happen, that I was going to say that, right? No, I don't like him because he can speak three different languages in a promo, you know, situation. I like him because of the style and the charisma he has when he's in there actually wrestling. Never mind the promos and how many languages he can speak. I really like him. Especially his springboard off the top rope to Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. And I thought, wow, that was awesome. He had R-Truth pinned for the 1-2-3, but the 1-2-3 never came. The match, that was a false, you know, a false finish. Finally, he hands him off to the Miz, and they're like, well, we're going to end this right now. And he goes in there. Miz just, you know, launches off the rope, come charging, running full speed. R-Truth ducks, and, well, the Miz accidentally hits his own tag team partner. Your winners are Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. Eve Torres, Caitlin, and Layla versus Beth Phoenix, Alicia Fox, and Natalia. Now you're probably saying, wait a minute, I thought Alicia Fox quit. I thought she was done. Well, I guess she felt the need to come back and she needed the money. So WWE said, well, we're going to stick you in this match just for the hell of it. Remember, like I said earlier, they rewrote the show while the show was going on. This is why she got thrown in there. They're like, welcome back, and you're going to be in this match. Your winners are Eve, Layla, and Caitlin anyways. Because they wanted Alicia Fox to be the lead of this whole team with Beth Phoenix and Natalia. But then they were like, well, it's only your first night back. We're not going to let you win and kind of play leadership role since it's only your first night back. Maybe next time. That's why Eve, Layla, and Caitlin won over Beth, Alicia, and Natalia. See how so confusing these Raw rewrites get? CM Punk took on Randy Orton as per the general manager AJ's orders. You know, and things came dragging out, you know, and Punk kicked him, you know, in the side of the head. That was after two clotheslines. And he leaves in the middle of the match when Dolph Ziggler ran in, and that cost the disqualification. So Randy Orton is the winner. You know, and this resulted in a whole chain of events that would soon revolve around the man, Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler got involved, and then they went to commercial break. Michael Cole's like, well, if you're just joining us, you know, things got out of control, and Randy Orton was getting beaten down by Dolph Ziggler and CM Punk, and Jerry Lawler wasn't going to stand by anymore. He took off his headset and jumped into the ring, and now we have a tag team match. I mean, they were clearly just supposed to end it right there. But no, when they were like, well, what are we going to do? I don't know. Have somebody run in. Who's going to run in and make the save? Everybody else is hiding back here. Well, tell Jerry Lawler and Ted just to run up there, and he can be the savior king. So Lawler did good. He had his match. And, of course, Vicky got involved in this tag team match. Of course, you know, every time Dolph Ziggler is in a match, she is not too far behind. But then they did this very interesting thing. The match is going on, and while the match is going on, Paul Heyman comes down to ringside And they start talking, him and CM Punk, and of course I heard some faints. They were very faint chants, but I did hear them for ECW, ECW. I'm proud of you, Canadian fan, for doing that. I appreciate that. I needed that. And it's like, this, you've never seen anything like this before. Never. Never in the history of wrestling have I seen a tag team match going on. And the opposing team member is outside talking to his somewhat consultant, who in this case is Paul Heyman. And Vicky starts screaming, going, there's a match going on here. Get your ass in there and help Dolph Ziggler. He's like, do you think we should pay attention to the match? No, we shouldn't pay attention to the match. We should just leave. Yeah, I think we'll leave. And Randy Orton and Jerry Lawler are your winners. And things like, what happened? I was taking care of business in the ring. And I didn't know until just now that CM Punk is going up the ramp with Paul Heyman. Like, dang. And they wanted to do Kane and Daniel Bryan and different things. And, well, we know where that led to. Heath Slater's in the ring, and he's going on about himself. He's like, come on, Zack Ryder, get your ass out here. Again, more cussing. He's like, oh, my rematch. So he, you know, Zack shows up on the screen. He's like, my name is Zack Ryder. You are going to face somebody that kind of has the same name as me. It's not Ryback, but it's close enough. So it's not Ryder. You know what I mean? So Ryback came out, and he took on Heath Slater, and, well, of course, Ryback is your winner. Kane and Daniel Bryan took on Titus O'Neil and Darren Young because they claimed that there was, AJ said, you're actually not the number one contender. There's been a mistake. Now what reason for storyline purposes could WWE have for this anyway? That there's a mix-up? Yeah, right. A mistake? Sure there is. We're talking about a show that still being written while the show is going on. Really stupid. But your winners and new number one contenders are Kane and Daniel Bryan, who ultimately don't like each other, who are ultimately in anger management classes together. Alberto Del Rio versus Tyson Kidd. Alberto Del Rio wins. After the match, Del Rio cut a fantastic promo on Night of Champions. And this is where everything shifted in. Matt Broderick is now in the chat room. Now, I was hoping that the one and only AJ Styles, maybe Eric Williams, I was hoping to have a roundtable discussion here about this, because this is when things got crazy. After Alberto Del Rio cut his awesome promo about Night of Champions and how he was going to handle his competition, because his competition at Night of Champions is Sheamus. Of course, you know, they went storyline-wise. We're talking about, well, I have no choice but to brand the Broad Kick. Now, very quickly, before we start the whole Jerry Lawler thing, this is a thing that came up this week with me and some other friends. They said, how come they're still referring to, they start telling everybody now, once again, that, well, this guy's only allowed to wrestle on this show because he's SmackDown property, and this guy is only on Raw because they claim he's Raw property. I said, well, they're going back to it again. They want to split the brands up again like they did when Vince McMahon took control of the ECW and WCW brands. They're going back to it. What they need to do is, for 2013, re-energize their product, Have everybody that's a raw property, make them legitimately raw property. Because some people say that, well, even though AJ was getting ready to make her announcement about this Alberto Del Rio Sheamus situation, the problems did start on SmackDown, but you had Booker T come out on Raw. You say he's the SmackDown general manager, and SmackDown problems are only for SmackDown to take care of. Well, clearly Raw and SmackDown are two different brands, if that's what you're really telling us, Vince. Why couldn't they just wait for this whole thing? They could have had Alberto Del Rio do this Night of Champions promo on SmackDown. That way Booker T could have taken care of it there. Thank you, Coffee. Coffee's talking about a real-life person that I seriously know. Great to have Matt Broderick here. But yeah, like I said, for 2013, this is their plan. Well, I'm envisioning their plan for them. Vince, take notes. Raw and SmackDown need to be TV-14 rated products, and, you know, all during Raw, you had everybody cussing and storm left and right. And, of course, he did make apologies to parents this week. We're very sorry. That will never take place on our show again. Yeah, right. How many times last week did certain people call each other a bastard and all these other things? Yeah, I'm sorry about the Packers last night, Matt. That was a heartbreaker for you, I know. Matt Broderick very upset here in the chat room. But then they, you know, after, like I said, after his promo, Michael Cole's like, well, I'm sure you've noticed, but Jerry Lawler had been absent, and that you probably noticed he hadn't done commentary. Well, duh, we know that. Then he very candidly and almost sarcastically said, I want you to know that this is not a storyline. This is not part of entertainment, but Jerry Lawler passed out here minutes ago. He was taken to the back room and administered CPR by medical staff and medical personnel. And nothing else will be said about Jerry Lawler tonight, maybe until the end of the show. And like I said, remember, this is a show that is being written as it's going on. Matt Broderick, I hope you didn't see what Coffee just put in the chat room. Coffee, why'd you say that? Go Packers. Oh, here we go. Gonna make Matt cry again. You know, like I said at the top of the show, Jerry Lawler, I hope you do take plenty of time off, pal. I've met you in person many times. You're a great guy. But I can't get over the fact that, you know, yes, he will be off for a while. But I can't get over the fact, you guys, the stupidity and irony that some people will go to. Because after Raw went off the air, Michael Cole had said, well, good night, everyone, and pull through, King, pull through. The next day, which was Tuesday, September 11th, like I said, everybody, man, there were so many 9/11 stuff that on Tuesday. It started really on Saturday, but man, anyways, Tuesday afternoon, that's when I start putting this show together and doing things of that nature and putting it here on Blog Talk Radio for all of you to read. And I blog about it other places. But in the middle of reporting things for this show today, my friend had sent me a video, and I was like, oh, cool. And this video is not wrestling related or anything, but there happened to be a wrestling video next to it. This is why I say that the extreme that some stupid jackasses go to, because they were trying to present what our topic is today, truth or dare. WWE, you know, people were like, was Michael Cole telling the truth? What is going on here? It became a truth or dare consequence for WWE to even mention anything about this. But it's because it ended up being a real-life situation. As Michael Cole said, this is not a storyline, not part of the entertainment, and indeed it's not. But some stupid jackass decides, because I saw this video next to the video I'm watching, it had just finished, and I go, rest in peace, Jerry Lawler. What? And it's got some music there showing pictures of Jerry Lawler. And the guy fabricating the video, I messaged him and I said, you know, what are you doing? Jerry Lawler's not dead, is he? He's like, he messaged me back right away on YouTube. He's like, oh yeah, man, didn't you hear the news? I didn't tell him that I was a host or anything or a wrestling analyst and one of those guys. If I would have told him I was a radio guy, he would have been like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he probably would have deleted the video because he doesn't want nobody to know he's a jackass lying son of a bitch. But the video had dozens and dozens of pictures of Jerry Lawler and some sad song. And I was like, and I never even messaged him back. I'm like, you prick. You stupid son of a bitch. Then there's some unknown wrestling blogs that I will not share with you what they said about Jerry Lawler. You don't even want to know these websites, so just forget about it. But still, even on blogs, people start saying, rest in peace, Jerry Lawler. I'm like, wait a minute. But by Wednesday, I talked with, you know, several wrestling sites that enjoy my work, and I enjoy their work for the honesty and integrity they show on their websites. So the three of them had said, well, we'll report on it. We're actually reporting on it right now. Because I mentioned some of them on social media. And I said, okay, thanks. Turns out Jerry Lawler is just fine. He's recovering. I mean, there's a picture of him on one of the wrestling websites. I forgot which website I talked to three of them, but I forgot which website it was. That they have Jerry Lawler's picture, and he's laughing and smiling. Even with all the medical tubes inside of him, he's making a nice recovery. He's trying to slow down. And I'm like, you stupid jackasses. Why would you make something up and tell the world, watch my video, Jerry Lawler died, it's a memorial video, when in fact he did not die? Let me just say this. You know that whole thing they say about karma? You better watch out, you little bastard. Just wait. Wait till something seriously happens to Jerry Lawler, and then you'll have a video to make about it. Don't be making up shit that's not true, telling the world to watch your stupid video. Because even he had me fooled. I was texting Matt Broderick and a few other people this week. Have you guys heard anything about Jerry Lawler being dead? Because I found a bunch of shit on the internet right now. And this was on Tuesday, right, Matt? I found a bunch of shit on the internet saying that Jerry Lawler, the king, had died. Which, indeed, I'm going to tell you right now, You're hearing it from me. Jerry Lawler is fine, ladies and gentlemen. He is not even dead. He's recovering nicely. TNA even mentioned him at the top of their show. We'd like to wish Jerry Lawler a speedy recovery. Because they even wanted the world to know. Because they knew that about these jackasses. Because I talked to Taz on Vile Social Media, and he said, "What? Let me find out what the hell is going on." I'm glad they acknowledged it, that to wish Jerry Lawler a speedy recovery. Jim Ross even thanked them in his blog. Saying that I can't thank Mike Tenay and Taz enough, even though they're a separate wrestling organization, even though we have our differences because we're different promotions, but I applaud them for acknowledging Jerry the King Lawler's recovery. Yeah, Matt, let's just say New Jack, as much as I like him, I think he needs mental help. Because it's not just King Jerry the King Lawler he's been talking about. New Jack's been talking about everybody on Twitter. But I want you to know, he is alive and slowly recovering. He's not dead. Not yet, anyways. To all you stupid jackasses, delete your dumbass blogs. Delete your videos that are not true. Telling the world that Jerry the King Lawler has died. Stop lying, because you're only lying to yourself. And you jackass and sons of bitches call yourself true wrestling fans. Well, true wrestling fans wouldn't go making shit up. What is wrong with you? God, man. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Matt, that one of your old gym coaches passed away. Now, I know you're not lying about that. I'm sure that's very honest from Matt. I tell you. If you want to report false stories, keep them to yourself. Get a fucking journal for all I care. Just do not go making rancid videos just for the hell of it. Over-the-top blogs because you think you understand the word truth or dare. You don't know a thing about truth or dare. Because you dared yourself. It seemed to me that this idiot making this video had it all planned out. Oh, well, they didn't really say too much about Jerry Lawler. So I'm going to make a video and say that Jerry Lawler has passed away. I'll post dozens of pictures. My video will get lots and lots of hits. Yeah, that's my plan. You know, I hope YouTube comes after you. Hey, that'll be karma for him. Yeah. I think I just might go back to his page after the show today, ladies and gentlemen. And I just might click on the report button to report his video and have them take it down immediately. What do you think? I might be able to slap something back in his face. Yeah, there we go. I'm sure Coffee and everybody else is laughing their asses off about that one. I should click the report button. And YouTube will be like, let's check this out. We got any wrestling fans in the office? And YouTube will be like, yeah, I'm one of them. So-and-so, get up here, watch this video. Is this true? No, it's not true. Jerry Lawler's still alive, damn it. And they're going to end up deleting his video. That would be funny. That would be hilarious. I tell you. It's crazy. It really is. But anyway, Sheamus took on David Otunga. Sheamus won. Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes won. And of course, you know, as we all thought that CM Punk and Paul Heyman had left, once again, no, they did not. They would come back, you know, when Sheamus was celebrating his win. They showed them in the backstage area. Matt Stryker's like, I'd like to talk to you about your actions, CM Punk. And I don't know why WWE thinks it's funny, but nonetheless, keep it up. It's entertaining. You know, at first everybody thought, because Paul Heyman stepped up to the mic that Matt Stryker had in his hand and thought he was going to stink, but he backed up and CM Punk's like, excuse me, I am the WWE champion and you are for the third week in a row. Everybody's asking Matt Stryker, who are you? Do you even work here? Good, nobody likes Matt Stryker. Keep it up. I wonder what they're going to do on SmackDown tonight. Or I wonder what they're going to do, you know, on Monday Night Raw. Who else is going to disrespect? You talk about disrespect. CM Punk's not the one being disrespect. I mean, he is in storyline terms, but for natural storylines, Matt Stryker's being totally disrespected. For the third week in a row now. First it was Teddy Long. Like, can I help you, player? I don't think we've met. Last week it was AJ. She's like, what? Who are you? Well, whoever you are, go tell John Cena to stay in the ring. And this week it's CM Punk. CM Punk punked out Matt Stryker. Excuse me? Who are you? I'm sure you don't know that I am the WWE champion. And he didn't even smile. Shows how good a worker CM Punk is. Because normally some wrestlers, they can't hold it in. They just want to start laughing and smiling on TV. But Punk, he does a good job. He knew it well. Paul Heyman, I could assure you, because there was that little smirk on Paul Heyman's face. He wanted to laugh so bad, but he had to keep his composure and act like, you know, he's all serious and really, really pissed off about something. So, I tell you, it's crazy, though. I love it. Yeah, Matt, that was a great, great promo. Awesome promo that they did with each other. So, it only shows what's going to happen this week on Monday Night Raw. I don't know what's going to happen, but something is indeed going to happen. And, you know, we'll just have to see. Yep. We'll see what happens this Sunday at the pay-per-view. And then for the October TNA pay-per-view, Bound for Glory. Everybody getting all into this. I can't wait because, unlike WWE has tried to get spots on television for their pay-per-views, but they say, well, You have to watch the pre-show on YouTube. Maybe because TNA is actually more nicer to the network than Vince McMahon is, because Vince McMahon always has to get his way just because he can, because he thinks he owns everything because he's Vince McMahon. But TNA had announced that, hey, the day of the pay-per-view, we're going to do a one-hour show here, right here on Spike TV before the pay-per-view. I was like, what? Wow. And, hey, this is going to be awesome. This is really going to be awesome. Yeah, Matt, I tell you, we'll see what happens. And we'll also have to see what happens right after this.
Hey, fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. On behalf of the Big Dog, we want to remind you that every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, we have our two-hour extravaganza, and then every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, we have our weekend review and our weekend preview. Don't forget to catch us over at blogtalkradio.com/sportstalkwiththeguys, and head on over to www.sportstalkwiththeguys.com. Hey sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. I want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, because we are the 4-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this truth or dare subject has really, really fired off. It's been exciting. It still is exciting with our last 30 minutes of the show left. And I tell you, what a show it was last night on Impact, especially the top of the second hour. Because, as we all saw at the top of TNA when it started, was that they showed everything that took place at No Surrender 2 weeks ago. And how Aces and Eights had, you know, Austin Aries was supposed to just wrestle the guy that, you know, that has a broken arm from Aces and Eights. He was the only one allowed in the building, or so people thought. And out of nowhere, a bunch of guys jump out, and because they knew that Austin Aries was on his way to winning that match, they're like, well, we can't allow him to win. And they all pop out from the crowd, from the stage, from everywhere you could think of at the No Surrender pay-per-view. And they just beat him down mercilessly. Then the TNA guys came out. Jeff Hardy got hurt. They had to call the ambulance for Jeff Hardy in storyline terms. Then Hogan decides enough is enough. He's going to call the cops and lock the place down. He's like, TNA is now on official lockdown. And I'm sure everybody saw everything taking place. Because actually, first, after that little video package about No Surrender, you know, Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy, they said they were going to get it on. But then Bully Ray's music hit because they'd been talking about how Bully Ray and everybody else that was involved in the Bound for Glory series had taken place and how no one can beat Samoa Joe, but Jeff Hardy did. Bully Ray's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. You're lucky and you're lucky. And he gave the reason why both guys, both Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries are lucky guys. And that went on. And then James Storm came out. Not during their segment. Their segment had finished already. James Storm did his own promo about where he's been, where he's at, why he stayed home so long. And he was this close to... He was leading the whole Bound for Glory series, and then he loses at No Surrender. And then Bobby Roode, you know, he left the ring, and Bobby Roode came out and did his own promo. And that James Storm is nothing more than a crybaby. Well, this led to James Storm coming back out, and he was really walking. They beat the crap out of each other all over the building. I mean, hey, if you're James Storm and your former best friend is going to hit you over the head at a pay-per-view with a beer bottle, I don't blame James Storm for being that pissed off. I'd be pissed off, too. And, you know, and that led to other things because the first match of the night last night on Impact was the X Division title. What a way to open the show. With the X Division title on the line, Zema Ion. And because last week, Zema's like, I can defend this title against anybody. Remember he said that last week? And for storyline purposes, they had to make it interesting. But who knew they would make it interesting with a man that hasn't even really been on TV, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me storyline-wise because they said that Sanjay Dutt, you know, is wrestling with an injury, and it happened here in TNA. Well, I don't remember Sanjay Dutt ever reporting in promos or otherwise. I don't even remember Mike Tenay and Taz even saying when he actually got hurt. What show was that? Was that at a house show? Probably, but they never went into it, and I just went, that doesn't even make sense, storyline-wise. He got the shoulder cast on his shoulder to protect his arm, but they gave no real reason why he's actually wearing it. Because, you know, Hogan told Dima Ion last week, well, I got a surprise for you then. And this week, last night, it turned out to be Sanjay Dutt, and these guys had an amazing, amazing match. I mean, that somersault, moonsault that Dima Ion did, Sanjay Dutt did his own version, variation of, well, a former WCW competitor, Ultimo Dragon, spinning missile dropkick off the top rope, which means you spin your body in midair, and your feet are supposed to kick the guy right in the chest. I said, damn, what a move. That was awesome. But I'm surprised that Dima Ion has no care in the world, and everybody's taken back by it. Why? Well, because obviously, clearly it was shown last night why. Because even though Dima Ion got the win over Sanjay Dutt, he wins and he's still the X Division champion. He's still one of the leaders for TNA. Even after the match, he goes after Sanjay Dutt's supposed injury. Now he's letting the world know he's an official heel now. Okay. Then we saw the video package that I had just mentioned, that Bobby Roode interfered in the Bound for Glory series and smacked James Storm's head with a beer bottle, and how they both had to be arrested. Frankie Kazarian and AJ Styles, they wrestled each other. Now, you're probably thinking, Matt, you forgot their tag team partners. No, I didn't, because Hogan wanted them to wrestle singles matches, but it would still be for the tag team titles, which was kind of interesting that you necessarily wouldn't lose your spot for the tag team number one contendership, but you might still lose it even though you're wrestling in singles matches. That was very, very interesting. I don't think that this idea officially came from Hulk Hogan. Matt Broderick telling me that he was beating his girlfriend in the Madden football game on Xbox. Matt, you're supposed to let your girlfriend win, not lose. I'm sure she was very upset with you. She probably wanted even to give you a stunner after that, huh? But nonetheless, it was, you know, Kazarian and AJ Styles, and man, the way AJ Styles said on Twitter that he meant to grab Frankie Kazarian's arm, and for some reason he grabbed his head. And that's why it looked like a DDT had taken place on the edge of the mat. Not only that, it was actually double impact. Because first, Styles had dropped him on his head on the outside of the ring, but then he fell to the floor on his own. It wasn't planned, because AJ Styles he apologized because he knows damn well that he did not protect Kiparian. The trick in wrestling to trick wrestling fans to make them think it's real is to protect your partner. That did not happen. Because AJ Styles let go before they actually hit the floor. So when they hit the floor, his head also, his neck snapped back a little bit, even on the floor, even though the floor is padded, still. That's why Taz was like, oh my God. What a shot. And you could hear Taz moving the paper around going, well, that obviously wasn't scripted, that he would let go of Kiparian in midair. So that's double trouble for Kiparian. I hope it's nothing serious, but hey. And now AJ and Angle, they get a rematch. And, you know, the next part, I thought he's going to bring in some big, burly guy. Hogan wants a bodyguard to protect Brooke Hogan at all times. He said he doesn't even want her to go home. He gets her a bodyguard. But it's in the name of their attorney that they've hired. Storyline-wise, in that TNA has hired the services of Joseph Park. So he's the attorney. He's trying to find out an investigation, and he said, I know who the members of Ace and Denise are. I'm kind of narrowing it down, and I'll have a big report, lots of paperwork to bring in for you next week. Hogan said, good, get that to me first thing. I need to know right now. He's like, actually, I have to go check on a few things. I have to go to the ring and make an announcement to Ace and Nate. Since you're the first person that walked through the door, see, Brooke, didn't I tell you? The first person that walks through the door is going to be your bodyguard. He's like, Joseph, can you take care of my daughter? Can you really, really protect her? And I just start laughing. Are you kidding me? I was expecting some big, burly, muscular wrestler to come in. Because I guess they forgot what they said storyline-wise. I think even Hulk Hogan himself forgot what he said fucking storyline-wise. Because he did say, I have a surprise for you, Brooke. It's a surprise bodyguard. Did TNA forget that word? Did Hulk Hogan forget that word? Surprise bodyguard? Or maybe they felt that this should be the way it's written. Maybe this was the way it was written. Joseph Park is now going to be the full-time 24/7 bodyguard for Brooke Hogan. You see the way he slouched right next to her? He just had those eyes checking her out. And she picks up a book and starts reading it. That showed she's not really comfortable with him. You can see it all over her face in that moment. And then Bully Ray and Jeff Hardy, they had a conversation backstage. And this led to different things and so on about Bound for Glory and stuff like that. And he said, well, fine. I don't think you have the balls to do it, but why don't you put up your shot at Bound for Glory? He's like, you're a coward. You're just a worthless piece of crap coward. Finally, Jeff Hardy speaks, and he's like, if you really want it, Bully Ray, you got it. I'm like, what? Now you're going to make storylines even more interesting. You know, Christopher Daniels took on Chavo Guerrero Jr. The winner, of course, is Chavo Guerrero. But he was still heated. Even though he won, he went backstage again and he told Hernandez, man, what the hell was that? What was Christopher Daniels trying to do out there? Lie, cheat, and steal. And I can't believe he took full credit for this. He says, man, and they start talking to each other in Spanish. He's like, órale, Holmes. I invented lie, cheat, and steal. And I said, what? Why the hell are they having him do that? That's more disrespect. You think WWE storylines are disrespectful? This is completely disrespectful. And if I was Chavo Guerrero, I would tell whoever's writing this shit, you're a story writer, huh? You're a wrestling TV story writer. Yes, I am, and this is what I want you to say on TV. I said, no, that's disrespectful to my uncle, my late great uncle Eddie Guerrero. I'm not going to go out there and say that. It's time for wrestling promoters to have their own truth or dare, because truth and dare leads to consequences. This could cause grave concern for Dixie Carter, because she is the one ultimately leading this charge. Now, why would you do that? Don't put Chavo Guerrero in that situation like that. Chavo didn't necessarily enter wrestling until he was 23 years old. I remember when he made his first live appearance on WCW television. And his uncle, Eddie Guerrero, had been doing it longer than he had. I just sat there thinking, how could they do that? How could they force Chavo Guerrero to say that? Oh, órale, Holmes. Hernandez is like, you know, he just punked you out. He's like, yeah, I invented lie, cheat, and steal. That's my move. You can't do that. Christopher Daniels thinking he's a Mexican. And I'm like, why did you bury your Uncle Eddie under the bus? Come on now. You didn't invent that. Eddie did. But anyways, you know, it looked like Tara was going to seriously congratulate Miss Tessmacher. And she did. Up to the point until Miss Tessmacher, you know, had the belt raised by herself and she's on the top rope. And she turns around only to find she gets super kicked right in the face. So they're trying to have Tara be the evil version of Shawn Michaels, I guess you could say, with the super kick. Because that's what Mike Tenay said. He's like, oh, what a super kick. What a super kick by Tara. I was like, do you have to be so dramatic on commentary, Mike Tenay? For storyline purposes, yes, but this is not a teleplay you're writing. This is theater, acrobatics. That's what wrestling is. That's where it originated from. And after seeing that, well, you can tell that Tara is also a heel now. She's now a so-called bad guy in wrestling. And Hogan goes to the ring and finally he addresses everything that's taken place. I mean, you have to give Jeff Hardy lots and lots of credit, ladies and gentlemen. Because at No Surrender, not only did he get attacked when he was trying to alleviate and help Austin Aries out because of Aces and Eights interfering when they swore that they would not interfere, he gets injured and he had to be seen by medical personnel in storyline terms. And remember, they showed, I told you that they showed the video package of what happened and how Hogan had called the police and had the Impact Zone on lockdown. But Jeff Hardy not only did that, he also wrestled twice in the same night at No Surrender, and he still won. And yes, Matt, I hope Chavo Guerrero can maybe one day be the TNA champion. I don't care what title he gets, as long as he deserves a title. That's what I think. But Hogan goes out there, and he's like, now, next, brothers, it's time to address this Ace and Nate BS. For some reason, he probably thought he still worked for Vince McMahon and felt he couldn't say the word bullshit. Anyway, nonetheless, he said that things were going to happen, and the one thing that had taken place at their last pay-per-view on Sunday at No Surrender, he's like, that rule is still in effect. The Impact Zone is still on lockdown, brother. Then the video shows Aces and Eights, and they were all clapping and cheering. Yeah. You do that, Hogan. You locked TNA down. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate that. Then the leader says, you know what? You don't have anyone faithful behind you. But these men would do anything for me. They would die for me if they had to. Because the real question you have to ask yourself, Hogan, is even though you did, and you have, I've seen all the security, I've seen all the police tonight, you have locked down the Impact Zone for good. But did you lock us in, or did you lock us out? And Hogan immediately says, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, from now on, watch your back. Somebody running down the hall, chasing you down, wanting your autograph. That guy in the front row wearing the Hulk Hogan shirt. He may be cheering for Hulk Hogan, but he could be one of us. How about that camera guy in the ring with you? Hogan's like, staring at the camera, like, you better not be ready to make. Gee. A whole spectrum of things could happen. Because even though this is kind of headed down towards the same way that the NWO angle had been done in WCW, but this is far more dangerous and far more cool than the NWO, even though I'm an NWO fan myself. I must say this is much cooler because the integrity is there for wrestling and to keep the storyline compelling, at the same time balancing the real wrestling from the old days mixed with the entertainment and value things here. And the reason why this is more compelling is, well, first and foremost, which is most obvious, we don't know what these guys look like. TNA is doing a damn good job. It sounds like they're using a voice machine before the show. Right, guys? Don't you think so? You know what? I know it's not Christmas time, but remember the Home Alone movie where Kevin McAllister gets to replay back his voice on that little cassette tape thing that they had? They sold a bunch of those in the 90s. I never got a chance to own one because I wanted to own one. That way I could play back my voice, and while the voice is being played back, There's a dial. There was a dial on the cassette tape, on the cassette player, the handheld one, where you could turn the knob and it would slowly change your voice to either a high pitch or a low pitch or a deep low, low pitch, which makes it sound like this. See? There. Now, even I just sounded like one of the guys from Ace of the Mates, right? So I'm not sure how they're doing this, but they're doing a very good job of it. Who is ultimately behind Aces and Eights? Does TNA, WWE, and the NFL have their own truth or dare consequence for themselves? They better get it straight. And on a personal note, you know, there was one thing, and I'm glad I have time for it within the 3 minutes I have left. I'm sure you guys heard about the crap that went down this week for the Green Bay Packers and the 49ers. There was an impartial bet that these two guys made. Well, if we win, I'll wear your jersey. I'll look really, really stupid because I don't play for your team. And the Niners quarterback and the Green Bay quarterback, they made a bet. They made a deal. It was a $200 bet. They'd already given each other the money before the game on Sunday. But I found out 2 days ago that they backed out. They're not going to go through with the bet. They're not going to wear each other's jerseys. You made a manly bet. They changed their minds and they're not going to wear each other's jerseys this week. Ah, a bunch of sissies. Or something. I don't know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what else to tell you. Don't get in trouble yourself this weekend. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, because then you might have your own truth or dare consequence in jail. And no, don't ask me to bail you out. All right. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Heading to the top rope. And he's in it. Frog splash. Come on.
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive, that's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it, because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.